Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Our 30-minute program is designed for people learning English. We speak slowly, using a simple style and limited vocabulary. Today on the show, Alice Bryant brings us Ask a Teacher. We also have a report from Brian Lynn. And we close the show with an American story. But first, Sudan's ruling military council and a coalition of opposition and protest groups have welcomed a new power-sharing agreement. Both sides agreed Friday to share power for a period of 3 years or more until Sudan holds elections. News of the deal set off celebrations in the streets of Khartoum. The two sides have been holding talks with African Union official Mohamed Hassan Labat. He said they agreed that the military and civilians would take turns choosing a sovereign council during the transition period. The Sudanese Professionals Association has led protests calling for civilian rule. The group said in a statement that the sovereign council would lead the country's transition. It said the council will include 5 civilians representing the protest movement and 5 military members. The two sides will choose a civilian as the 11th member. The group's statement on the agreement said, "Today, our revolution has won, and our victory shines." It said the new government will be technocratic, meaning the sides will appoint experts in different fields to serve until the country can hold elections. They also promised to launch an independent investigation into violent events in recent weeks. For now, Sudan will not have a legislative council. The two sides had earlier agreed that the forces for the Declaration of Freedom and Change would take 2/3 of a legislative council's seats. Then, security forces attacked a sit-in protest on June 3rd, and talks stopped. Protest leaders said more than 100 people died in the military action. Since then, demonstrators have remained in the streets. They demanded that the generals give power to a civilian leadership. Omar Aldeguer is a leader of the FFC, a coalition representing the protesters. He said they hoped that forming the new government bodies will lead to improvements. "We hope that this is the beginning of a new era," he added. Tariq Abdelmagid, another FCC leader, told the Associated Press that pro-democracy leaders had to give up some of their goals to avoid more violence. "I am not fully satisfied, but it is a step forward to bring peace to our people," Magid said. "We had a civilian revolution, and the very idea of power sharing with the military was already rejected by the Sudanese people. But this is what the balance of power dictated." The African Union and Ethiopia made intensive efforts to bring the generals and the protesters back to the talks. Sudan's generals also praised the agreement. The military-controlled television station Al Sudan played national songs and showed parts of the press conference announcing the agreement, with these words below it: "Congratulations to the Sudanese people. General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo is the deputy chief of the military council. He told reporters that the agreement would address all the problems and include everyone. This deal will meet the ambitions of the Sudanese people and their victorious revolution, he said. Dagalo heads the Rapid Support Forces, accused by the FFC of crushing the sit-in protest. He said, "We thank the African and Ethiopian mediators for their efforts and patience. We also thank our brothers in the Forces for Freedom and Change for the good spirit." Reuters reported there were celebrations across Omdurman, Khartoum's sister city across the Nile River, when news of the agreement broke. Thousands of people of all ages took to the streets. Some of them shouted, "Civilian, civilian, civilian." Young men played drums, people sounded horns, and women carrying Sudanese flags cried out in happiness.
The strongest earthquake to hit California in 20 years caused minor injuries and damage in a town near the quake's epicenter. The quake struck Thursday morning in the Mojave Desert, about 240 kilometers northeast of Los Angeles. Scientists say it measured 6.4 in magnitude. The United States Geological Survey defines magnitude as a number that represents the relative size of a quake. An area near the small town of Ridgecrest was most affected by the quake. But it was felt by people in areas as far away as Los Angeles and Las Vegas in the neighboring state of Nevada. Officials said more than 80 aftershocks shook the town and nearby areas by Friday. One of them had a magnitude of 4.5. These aftershocks were expected to continue. The fire chief in California's Kern County, David Witt, told reporters only a few minor injuries were reported. He said the injuries came from broken glass and objects falling inside local businesses. Witt added that some hospital patients were moved from the town's main hospital because it received damage. Two houses caught fire from broken gas lines. Some power lines went down, leaving thousands of people without electricity. The quake was blamed for some small grass fires and damage to roads. California Governor Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency for Kern County, meaning the area can receive state aid and recovery assistance. Cora Burke is a restaurant worker in Ridgecrest. She told the Associated Press the earthquake almost gave me a heart attack. She described a rolling feeling inside the building. "And all of a sudden, everything started falling off the shelf," she said. Video images of one business showed the floor filled with broken bottles, boxes, and food products that fell from shelves. Lucy Jones is with the California Institute of Technology. She said the earthquake was the strongest to hit California since a 7.1 quake struck the area on October 16, 1999. This has been an extremely quiet, abnormal time, Jones said. This type of earthquake is much more normal. The long-term average is probably once every 5 or 10 years, somewhere in Southern California. I'm Brian Lynn.
Today on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Yahia in Yemen. He writes, could you explain what are the differences between hi, dear sir, hello, greetings, and other greetings? Thank you. Dear Yahia, to answer your question, I need more information. Are you writing a business letter or an email? Also, how well do you know the person you are writing to? Let us look at a few possible situations. When writing to someone you do not know, you usually begin a letter with dear and the title of the person and their surname or family name. Imagine you are writing a letter to congratulate Corey Goff, the young woman who defeated Venus Williams at Wimbledon on Monday. If you did not know the American teenager, you would start the letter this way.
Dear Miss Goff, I am writing to congratulate you on your amazing victory at Wimbledon.
You may have seen business letters that start with Dear Sir or Dear Sir or Madam. But those words are used when you do not know the name of the person who will receive the letter. It is always better to begin with the name of the person you are writing to. Use the term Ms. for females and Mr. for males before the surname. If you do not know whether the person is a male or female, you can use their full name. Dear Corey Goff. Punctuation is a little different. In business letters, you should use a colon after the greeting. In a personal letter, add a comma after the greeting. Now imagine you are a family friend of Corey Goff. In that case, you can begin your letter less formally and use her given name.
Dear Corey, I was so happy to see you on television Monday. You were awesome.
You might even use the tennis player's nickname, which is Coco.
Dear Coco.
In emails and text messages, it is also common to see the greeting hi or hello. These are fine if you know the person well and have been in contact with them recently. The word greetings sounds like the opening of a form letter or a mass mailing, so you should not use it in a letter to just one person. To close a business letter, you can use sincerely followed by your name. Use your full name for someone you do not know and your given name for someone you do know. To close a friendly letter, you can use yours or best wishes, followed by your given name. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Alice Bryant.
Our story today is called The Last Leaf. It was written by O. Henry. Here is Barbara Klein with the story.
Many artists lived in the Greenwich Village area of New York. Two young women named Sue and Johnsy shared a studio apartment at the top of a three-story building. Johnsy's real name was Joanna. In November, a cold, unseen stranger came to visit the city. This disease, pneumonia, killed many people. Johnsy lay on her bed, hardly moving. She looked through the small window. She could see the side of the brick house next to her building. One morning, a doctor examined Johnsy and took her temperature. Then he spoke with Sue in another room. "She has one chance in, let us say, 10, he said. "And that chance is for her to want to live. Your friend has made up her mind that she is not going to get well. Has she anything on her mind?" She wanted to paint the Bay of Naples in Italy someday, said Sue. "Paint?" said the doctor. "Bosh! Has she anything on her mind worth thinking twice? A man, for example?" "A man," said Sue, "is a man worth..." "But no, doctor, there is nothing of the kind." "I will do all that science can do," said the doctor. "But whenever my patient begins to count the carriages at her funeral, I take away 50% from the curative power of medicines." After the doctor had gone, Sue went into the workroom and cried. Then she went to Johnsy's room with her drawing board, whistling Ragtime. Johnsy lay with her face toward the window. Sue stopped whistling, thinking she was asleep. She began making a pen and ink drawing for a story in a magazine. Young artists must work their way to art by making pictures for magazine stories. Sue heard a low sound, several times repeated. She went quickly to the bedside. Johnsy's eyes were open wide. She was looking out the window and counting backward. 12, she said, and a little later, 11, and then 10, and 9, and then 8, and 7, almost together. Sue looked out the window. What was there to count? There was only an empty yard and the blank side of the house 7 meters away. An old ivy vine, going bad at the roots, climbed halfway up the wall. The cold breath of autumn had stricken leaves from the plant until its branches, almost bare, hung on the bricks. "What is it, dear?" asked Sue. 6, said Johnsy quietly. "They're falling faster now. 3 days ago, there were almost 100. It made my head hurt to count them. But now, it's easy. There goes another one. There are only 5 left now."
5 what, dear?" asked Sue.
"Leaves on the plant. When the last one falls, I must go too. I've known that for 3 days. Didn't the doctor tell you?"
"Oh, I never heard of such a thing," said Sue. "What have old ivy leaves to do with your getting well? And you used to love that vine. Don't be silly. Why, the doctor told me this morning that your chances for getting well real soon were, let's see exactly what he said. He said, the chances were 10 to 1. Try to eat some soup now. And let me go back to my drawing so I can sell it to the magazine and buy food and wine for us. You needn't get any more wine, said Jauncey, keeping her eyes fixed out the window. There goes another one. No, I don't want any soup. That leaves just four. I want to see the last one fall before it gets dark. Then I'll go, too. Jauncey, dear, said Sue, will you promise me to keep your eyes closed and not look out the window until I'm done working? I must hand those drawings in by tomorrow. Tell me as soon as you have finished, said Jauncey, closing her eyes and lying white and still as a fallen statue. I want to see the last one fall. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of thinking. I want to turn loose my hold on everything and go sailing down, down, just like one of those poor, tired leaves. Try to sleep, said Sue. I must call Mr. Behrman up to be my model for my drawing of an old miner. Don't try to move until I come back. Old Behrman was a painter who lived on the ground floor of the apartment building. Behrman was a failure in art. For years, he had always been planning to paint a work of art, but had never yet begun it. He earned a little money by serving as a model to artists who could not pay for a professional model. He was a fierce little old man who protected the two young women in the studio apartment above him. Sue found Behrman in his room. In one area was a black canvas that had been waiting 25 years for the first line of paint. Sue told him about Jauncey and how she feared that her friend would float away like a leaf. Old Behrman was angered at such an idea.
Are there people in the world with the foolishness to die because leaves drop off a vine? Why do you let that silly business come in her brain?
She is very sick and weak, said Sue, and the disease has left her mind full of strange ideas.
This is not any place in which one so good as Miss Jauncey shall lie sick, yelled Behrman. Some day I will paint a masterpiece, and we shall all go away.
Jauncey was sleeping when they went upstairs. Sue pulled the shade down to cover the window. She and Behrman went into the other room. They looked out a window fearfully at the ivy vine. Then they looked at each other without speaking. A cold rain was falling, mixed with snow. Behrman sat and posed as the miner. The next morning, Sue awoke after an hour's sleep. She found Jauncey with wide-open eyes staring at the covered window. "Pull up the shade. I want to see," she ordered quietly. Sue obeyed. After the beating rain and fierce wind that blew through the night, there yet stood against the wall one ivy leaf. It was the last one on the vine. It was still dark green at the center, but its edges were colored with the yellow. It hung bravely from the branch about 7 meters above the ground.
It is the last one, said Jauncey. I thought it would surely fall during the night. I heard the wind. It will fall today,
and I shall die at the same time. Dear, dear, said Sue, leaning her worn face toward the bed. Think of me, if you won't think of yourself. What would I do? But Johnsy did not answer. The next morning, when it was light, Johnsy demanded that the window shade be raised. The ivy leaf was still there. Johnsy lay for a long time looking at it. And then she called to Sue, who was preparing chicken soup. I've been a bad girl, said Johnsy. Something has made that last leaf stay there to show me how bad I was. It is wrong to want to die. You may bring me a little soup now. An hour later, she said, someday I hope to paint the Bay of Naples. Later in the day, the doctor came, and Sue talked to him in the hallway. Even chances, said the doctor. With good care, you'll win. And now I must see another case I have in your building. Behrman, his name is. Some kind of an artist, I believe. Pneumonia, too. He is an old, weak man, and his case is severe. There's no hope for him, but he goes to the hospital today to ease his pain. The next day, the doctor said to Sue, she's out of danger. You won. Nutrition and care now. That's all. Later that day, Sue came to the bed where Johnsy lay and put one arm around her. I have something to tell you, White Mouse, she said. Mr. Behrman died of pneumonia today in the hospital. He was sick only 2 days. They found him the morning of the first day in his room downstairs, helpless with pain. His shoes and clothing were completely wet and icy cold. They could not imagine where he had been on such a terrible night. And then they found a lantern, still lighted, and they found a ladder that had been moved from its place, and art supplies and a painting board with green and yellow colors mixed on it. And look out the window, dear, at the last ivy leaf on the wall. Didn't you wonder why it never moved when the wind blew? Oh, darling, it is Behrman's masterpiece. He painted it there the night that the last leaf fell.
You have heard the story, The Last Leaf, by O. Henry. Your storyteller was Barbara Klein.
That's our show for today. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, with more stories from around the world. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for listening.